demands if you do, demands if you don't. I hope you got the play on words there. If you rearranged the letters of that, you probably did. So this is an important topic, in my opinion. And here's what I want for you. I would like, as a result of what I'm talking about, for you to consider the demands that are in your life. If you look at your life and identify what is pushing, pulling, holding, tugging on you, you're going to be much better off. Sometimes when I do talks, Marianne says to me, Tom, I think you need not to be so subtle. You need to be clearer, upfront, what you're talking about. So I'm going to make an attempt to do that. Demands cause stress to start. Stress causes illnesses and disease to start. Lifestyle choices are designed to reduce the pain, the emotional pain primarily, caused by the stress of the demands that we experience. Lifestyle choices are responsible for about 70% of the deaths in the United States. Demands lead to stress. Stress leads to emotional pain. Emotional pain leads to lifestyle choices, and lifestyle choices kill us. That's pretty clear, right? So, this whole topic of how we respond to demands is really interesting. I've known people who were worried about their finances, right, who would then go to a local bar and spend what little money they had on beer and whiskey. You would think that if that guy had the demand to improve his finances, he would do something other than go to a bar and spend his money on alcohol. But maybe that person perceived his demand differently than you or I might do. Consider this. This person probably felt the pain and pressure of not having enough money. And we would say, okay, that kind of makes sense. That's a pretty common thing nowadays. But if he perceived the demand as, I've got to create a way to generate more money, I got to go to my garage and try to invent something, or my basement, or to my office, or let me get a newspaper and look at the one ads and see if there's a way for me to produce more money for me and my family. That makes sense to you and me. But on the other hand, if this person perceived the demand as, I've got to find a way to reduce the pain and upset that I'm feeling, and I need to do it quickly. Then, using alcohol as a pain reliever or a painkiller, it's like, oh, well, I guess if you processed it like that, that makes a little bit more sense. Not that desirable, of course. It's not really a step in the direction of a solution, but it does make sense. Some of the dominant demands in human beings, and human beings, I mean you and I mean me, those dominant demands are to avoid pain, that's mental pain, emotional pain, physical pain, and to avoid discomfort and to avoid inconvenience. That's why there are so many businesses that are devoted to, hey, I can help you reduce your pain. Hey, I can help you reduce your discomfort. Hey, I can help you reduce your inconvenience. And it makes sense. Can you even imagine? Here's a scenario for what your life would be like if all of us had to actually get out of our recliners or off the couch and walk over to the television and change the channel nowadays. We're like, whoa, that's a hardship. Oh, that's uncomfortable. That's really inconvenient. So we've got remote controls, and so many remote controls exist in some households, mine included. It's like, what's this remote control for? I don't know. Let me read the label to try to figure this out. So we're really invested in comfort and convenience and the avoidance of pain. And it makes sense that stress causes pain, it causes discomfort, and it causes inconvenience. Stress causes so much inconvenience, so much pain, and so much discomfort that most people think either 100% of illnesses are directly impacted by stress, or maybe it's only 90 or 95% of those things. But if you think about it, if stress impacts disease, illness, unhappiness, marital strife, all kinds of things, including death, you go, wow, now, stress, that's inconvenient. Here's the textbook definition of stress, and there are a bunch of them, but all of them have the word demand in it. And this is the nonspecific response to a demand placed upon the body. You go, oh, well, if demands are killing me, maybe I ought to know what those things are. So then they won't kill me because I'll be aware enough to be able to put them into proper perspective. So here's one way to look at a demand, and I'll go through a couple others as well. A desire, your desire is a demand. It is pulling and pushing you in a certain direction to do something. A should, a duty, a chore, a want to. I want to do that. I want to do that. I have to do that. So have to's are in there. An expectation, a job, a responsibility, a goal, and a need. And that list could probably go on a whole bunch more words. All of those things try to impel us to do something. But if you thought of a demand like this, as the straw that gets put on the camel's back. You've heard that, right? You know where I'm going with this imagery. The straw that broke the camel's back. Demand after demand, straw after straw, straw after straw is added. And ultimately, that camel has its back broken, the weight of those straws or demands. You and I are like camels. And the demands that we experience are like the straws. The difference between some of us and camels is you can pretty much get it. Well, they're four-legged. That's a big difference, right? But we can choose the demands that we have. We can disallow certain demands, whereas that's not really true of a camel. Camel doesn't really have those kind of choices. The camels got limited freedom, might be tied up, controlled, and is forced to do certain things and prevented from doing other certain things, right? So humans, you and I, we all have the potential to think for ourselves. We can make choices, we can make decisions, and ideally those things would be in our own self-interest and the self-interest of other people as well as our families, of course. And that way, we could take steps in the direction of enhanced lives, increased happiness, better health, more success. You go, oh, that would be a good, good direction for us to be going in. Unkindly, let me say this. We have the potential to think for ourselves, but it seems to me in conversations that some people don't want to avail themselves of the ability to think for themselves. So if I go back to that statistic, 70% of the deaths in the United States are directly attributed to lifestyle choices. In other words, people are doing things habitually that will kill them. So what word do we use when we talk about somebody who kills themselves? Suicide. You go like, wow, that doesn't seem like a good activity. They should have thought more clearly about what they were doing. That is true. If you consider certain things as being healthy to us, how about love, harmony, good feelings about yourself and other people? Oh, yeah, that's healthy. But how about hate? Hate is bad for you. It's bad for me. It's bad for anybody. It's like, it's bad for us spiritually, it's bad for us mentally, it's bad for us emotionally, and it's bad for us physically because it's a demand that puts us in a self-protect mode that seals us off from other energy flows that could keep our lives going and improving. It's toxic. It's like drinking poison. Hate is a poisonous vibration. Anybody selling you hate, you go like, no, thank you. No, thanks. Switch your channel. Walk away from that conversation, it doesn't serve you. And it won't serve that person either, no matter how much they're into it. The other day I saw a YouTube video of an interview of a Monsanto representative and an interviewer. It was kind of interesting. They were talking about Roundup. Roundup is a chemical you can buy in Lowe's or Home Depot, pretty much any hardware store. It's used to kill weeds. It kills living things. That's what it does. And that's its purpose. Roundup is poisonous. So the Monsanto spokesperson said in that interview, Roundup is safe enough to drink. And the interviewer said, if I give you a glass of Roundup, will you drink it? And the guy goes, no, I won't. I'm not an idiot. So I thought, this guy is selling poison, and he's selling things that kill. He doesn't take it in himself directly. I think hate and violence are just like Roundup. They're poisonous. If you watch and listen to hate television or hate radio, or you're reading the newspapers and hate this and hate that, you're drinking in poison through your ears and your eyes. You're being filled with the demand to hate other people. And this is the problem. If you hate somebody, what do you do with that hate? What do you do with that hate? It's not like you can, well, ideally you don't. You wouldn't take that hate. Oh, I got to go out and punch somebody in the nose. I got to do something really bad to somebody else to move this energy out of my body so I can return to harmony. Obviously, somebody who's filled with hate is not thinking in those terms. So to hold on to this hate, and there's nothing you can do about it, is like having acid in a container that ultimately will burn up the container. We don't want to do that. Marianne and I have started a website called Live to Be 120 and Healthy. That's what we want to do. We want to live at least 120 years old and be healthy the entire time. But there are two basic rules that seem really fundamental. When I say them, you go, yeah, that makes sense. Number one, don't kill yourself. If 70% of the people are doing that, don't kill yourself. Okay, got it. And number two, don't let other people kill you. Don't listen to the Monsanto telling you how safe it is to drink Roundup or other things that are poisonous to us. You go, got it. Got those two. Don't kill myself. Don't let other people kill me. Good idea. Let me go back to demand. You're going to want to keep looking at this in regards to your own life, but I want to simplify it a little bit. Think of a demand as something that needs to be done. That's actually a pretty healthy way to look at it. All you'd have to do is now decide what needs to be done and do it. And there would be very, very little stress in that. Decide what needs to be done and do it. Well, we pretty much solved the major cause of so many deaths in America. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. And if you couldn't do it right then, schedule it. Get out your appointment book and I will meet this demand 9 a.m. on Friday morning or Thursday night. Or just fill it in. Schedule it. And you are actually responding specifically to that demand. This is the problem. It's not that simple. Demands can be problems. In many cases, we've got problems, right? I got a problem. What do I do? I don't know what to do. And then we're stuck. We have the problem, just like hate, or something a little bit saner than that, but we don't know what to do about it. We just know that something has to be done. So now, because we know something has to be done, but we don't know what action to take, stress is building, because we don't know how to respond specifically and handle it. This reaction to demands, you've heard the word procrastination, and it's interesting, right? You would say, I have something to do. That's put in parentheses, demand. And I think I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it over the weekend. I'll do it some weekend in the future. And we postpone it. We had a visitor for 2 weeks. He left this morning. Interesting. His name is Van. Van was the chief communicator on the Air Force One for something like 23 years. He worked with five presidents. He worked with Henry Kissinger and other secretaries of state during that time. has amazing number of stories. But it's interesting, when Van comes to visit us each year about this time, he's looking for things to do. He wants me to have a to-do list for him. He wants me to have a list of demands that he can then take action, resolve, and live happily ever after. But it was interesting when I was watching him, I said, without having a to-do list for him, I said to him, Van, I need this following thing done, but not today. I would like you to do it tomorrow. And then I have a second thing I would like you to do, not today or tomorrow, but I would like you to do it in 2 days. He couldn't do it. He could wait. He started to stood up. He started pacing. He started to, he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait. He had a demand, and he needed to take action immediately. He couldn't delay it like me or maybe other people. He couldn't do it. He just had to do it. When I looked at that, and I thought, oh, that's really interesting. Even when I asked him to delay, he couldn't do it. But if I go back to flying on Air Force One, he handled all the communication from Air Force One to any place in the world. And here's a guy that went to China with Kissinger the first time and did all the communication. Anything said on that aircraft went through him. I can't imagine Van would say, some president or some secretary of state said, I would like this done. I'll get to it as soon as I can. No problem. Yeah, I'll schedule that for later. Obviously, that didn't happen. He jumped and did it immediately. Did it immediately. Demand action. Demand action. So you go, oh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. I like that idea is you and I have demands. And if we took a horizontal line, drew it, and on the left side put a demand, just a box with the word demand, or if you had financial issues, you could put a dollar sign or a pound sign or a euro sign, or if you had something else at career or work or family, any kind of word that describes the demand, you go, I have a problem, something needs to be done. And then a horizontal line extends to the right, extends to the right, extends to the right. How long does it extend to the right? Up to you. If it were Van, it wouldn't extend to the right very long. As soon as he heard the demand, he got, I got to do it. Demand, I got to do it. Demand, I got to do it. The rest of us who procrastinate or schedule things or delay taking action because other stuff comes to us, well, maybe it might be too hard, it might be too complicated, and so on, all of that stuff gets pushed off to the side. However, as that delay from demand to making a decision to do something, and that's different than doing something, there's three steps in my mind. Perceiving a demand, making a decision to do something about it, and then actually taking action. So the amount of space on that line between the perception of a demand and the decision to do something, that amount of time is when stress is building in our bodies. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do something about this. Okay, we just made a decision. The amount of time between that decision and the action is when our stress is building again. Some people need to get that pressure, stress, right? You've heard of this. Some people go Christmas shopping on the 24th of December. If we had some kind of instrumentation hooked up to those people that delay like that, you would see them redlining like a tachometer in a car, ready to blow a gasket. You go like, wow, why did they wait so long? Because they allowed the stress to build because they were imagining difficulties that the average person didn't. Having been in that situation, I can recall on the 24th, wow, this is actually fun. Why did I wait till the 24th to go shopping? That's crazy. Next year, I'm going to do it differently. Next year, I went on the 23rd. But you go, wow, that amount of time that we hold onto the demand without meaningful action, we're allowing the stress to build up in our bodies. And for people who have the demand and don't decide to do anything and take no action, It's building, and then over time, the body will break down. That is not a really good thing. If you think manage essentially four things: matter, solid stuff, energy, not solid stuff, ideas, demands would be in this category, space, this is the geography around us, even our mind share, our hard drives, our desk space, our closets, and so on, and time. So when we delay taking action on something that is a demand for us for no good reason, we're building up stress, and that is going to be problematic for us. I would think that we're in a situation, if we were to take a look at the demands in our lives, and I suggest it's easy enough to see. I use a framework that I call the 12 worlds. Basically, every action that you or I take will fit into one or more of these categories at the same time: spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure, community, political, and maintenance. You have demands in those areas, some of them many demands, some very powerful demands, and others less so in both cases. And you would go, oh, yeah, I get it. The pressure that we feel, the sooner we can respond effectively to it, the easier our lives are going to be, and the healthier, and we're going to feel better about ourselves, which ultimately is really a key factor in being healthy. If you were to look at certain situations and say, I'm going to do this later, but then you spend all your time thinking about it. I remember this scenario. Remember the days when we used to write checks to pay bills? The idea was to keep your money in your own account as long as you could and pay at the last minute in order to be on time, but you'd have access to your money the longest time. So a bill, this scenario would happen with me. A bill would arrive on the first of the month, due on the 15th. And I would say, okay, I'm going to put it in a folder marked on the 12th or 13th. I'll write a check, put it in an envelope, mail it, and I'll live happily ever after. Good theory. Didn't work. I put the bill in that folder. I would think about it 50 times a day, every single night, until I couldn't stand it, and I would write the check. I said, wow, this is not saving me anything. In fact, it's stressing me like crazy. So then I resorted to this idea. A bill came in. I would open it, notice it, write a check, mail it. Sometimes I'd write a check, put it, and feel it was complete, and then stick it in a place where I would mail it a couple days later, but I had to do it right away. I needed to respond. I needed to shorten the amount of time between it and me in order to not let stress build up. Your life and my life today is filled with far more stress than our parents had or our grandparents had. They had different stresses. They were trying to survive perhaps more than us, but the pulls and pushes and things being tugging at them in one direction or another doesn't compare to all the things happening to us, because the menu of choices that we have nowadays is so great. We can do so many things. Back then it was like you work on the farm or you do your job and you work and then you would go to sleep at night and do it again the next day. And then television came along and you'd add an hour or so of TV and then you would do it again the next day. You and I, that's not true. We have tremendous number of things that we could do and we want to do. Demands are largely made up by us. And they either manage us or we manage them. And us managing our demands is really the right way to do it. So all of these demands we have, some of them acknowledged, some not, are tugging at us. And I suggest that we could look at this and go, I want to simplify my life. Some people say, if you want to simplify your life, get rid of stuff. To me, stuff is matter. Get rid of things in your environment. Well, that might help. But I think we would be far better off changing our relationship with the energy, specifically demands. If we could simplify the demands that we are feeling, we're going to be so much better off. How about a couple of questions like this? Use those 12 worlds, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, and so on. What do you have to do in each of those worlds? What do you have to do? When do you have to do it? How much time is required to do it? What will happen if you didn't do it? How will you feel if you don't do it? What will happen if you do do it? Is there a reward? Is it going to feel good or what? How will you feel? And about what will happen if you do it? Because there's going to be ramifications in your environment. And are there other things more important for you to do? And that list could go on and on and on. Some demands are natural. Got to eat, got to sleep, got to drink water, got to go to the bathroom. In fact, we learn how to deal with demands, right? Anybody who's ever been toilet trained or ever had a child who needed to be toilet trained, it was like, little child, I hope you will recognize a demand in your body, a demand that says it's time to go into the bathroom, and then we're going to set you up on a potty or a toilet, and right, they're learning how to recognize a demand and how to respond effectively to it. It's like, oh, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. All of us have these demands, and if we could recognize them and say, whoa, 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 I'm not doing this. You can't do all the demands. You've got to prioritize them. Some are important, some much less so. And it would be our ability to differentiate, go, nope, not doing that, not doing that, not doing that, yes, I'm doing that, because there's rewards involved in that. That's really what I want. I'm looking to find the demands that I can respond to that are going to produce the greatest results for me and my family and in business, for me, the company, the customers. And you go, that's it, that's it. Because having all of these demands on our shoulders is going to suppress the immune system, ultimately leading us to emotional and other forms of pain, and then we end up making bad choices lifestyle-wise, and that's the wrong path. We can manage our demands. We're not going to be able to escape them, and we wouldn't if we could, because they make life meaningful. But we need to manage our demands. Marianne mentioned this story to me some time ago. In business, when people are in business getting trained, there's an internal demand to get ahead, right? And that makes sense. We want to progress. So Marianne was telling me this story about IBM, her experiences, and you can hear what this is. So I'm going to ask Marianne to reiterate that story.
Back when I joined IBM, I was hired as an engineer because I had a double major in math and physics. But I spent 6 months in the engineering ranks and realized that was not for me. I wanted to be a salesperson. Well, women didn't do that, they said. But I kept hounding them, and eventually they allowed me to do it. But I had territories in the middle of nowhere, 8 hours from my home, you name it. I got the worst thing in the world. But each year I kept coming out on top. So they sent me to a training in Washington, D.C., 52 men and me. The men were on one side of the room. I was on the other. They wouldn't talk to me. They would have nothing to do with me. Didn't know why I was in their class, because women didn't do that. And then an interesting thing happened. The door opened. A secretary ran through the door, went to the instructor, whispered in the ears, and the instructor said, Mrs. Barr, which was my name at that point in time, the White House is calling you. I nonchalantly got up and I said, thank you, where should I take it? And I walked out the door with the secretary. I picked up the phone, and it was my friend Van, who Tom talked about earlier. He was up in Air Force One with one of the presidents, and he had a quick moment, so he thought he'd call me in class and see where we could go to dinner that night. So I handled the call rather professionally, hung up, thanked everybody for getting me, walked back in the room, and everybody was all over me. They wanted to know what went on. I kept saying, I'm sorry, it's classified. I'm sorry, it's classified. You don't have security clearance for that. Well, as the day went on, if people could have sat in my lap, they would have. But it was kind of interesting to see what these little boys were doing. So is that what you wanted, Tom?
That's what I wanted. It's what we will do in response to this demand, increased comfort, getting ahead, achievement, avoiding pain, and so on. If you look at what you do in your life and where these pulls and tugs are coming from, taking care of yourself and your family, then other people outside of that become priorities. But first, self and families. Those are the demands you're going to want to prioritize.